VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Folks, I've said so much is happening so very quickly. The intensity and the amount of material is just escalating. It's just hard to believe all that's going on. And as such, I was talking to Sandy. I said, we need to have a news roundup today. I don't want to. We're going to be having some Christmas specials on both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Tomorrow, we certainly want to have a more uplifting program. But there's much that's happened you need to know of. And so we're going to unpack a lot of these issues here today for you on Crosstalk. Yes, even during this Christmas week. And friends, don't lose sight of what this time of year means. Scripture says the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. I'm so glad God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the foundation upon which we have the gift of salvation available to all. Whosoever will may come. Thank you for joining us today here on the broadcast as we're going to talk about many issues that are going on. And yes, this does impact us across the nation. Yesterday, congressional leaders unveiled this roughly $2.4 trillion spending package. Now, we keep paying the COVID relief package, the COVID relief. We've got to give COVID relief. Folks, do you know that there was more money spent on non-COVID relief than on COVID relief? Some $2.4 trillion, about $900 billion, is for coronavirus relief. The House acted swiftly to pass this last night. It went over to the Senate, and Mitch McConnell had already pledged, we're not going to leave the Capitol until this thing is passed. Folks, they had just hours to review this bill. 5,593 pages long. And passed, they did it. This is longer, we're told, than the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare. Longer than that, and they had just hours to review this. Friends, we are not going to know what was in this legislation for some period of time. And yet they're all voting on it and applauding, and people are going to get a paycheck and make you feel good. But folks, you need to know what else is going on in here. The measure also includes about $325 billion in small business relief, including $284 billion in forgivable loans for small businesses through the Paycheck Protection Program, an extension of boosted federal unemployment benefits, $300 a week through March 14th of 2021, a second $600 stimulus check for Americans earning less than $75,000. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said yesterday that he expects the federal government to begin issuing checks to millions of Americans as soon as next week. And that becomes the overriding issue. When am I going to get my money? When am I going to get my money? How much are we going to get? How many children? How much can we get? And folks, we lose sight of all that's going on. The legislation also has other issues. $45 billion for transportation needs, $82 billion for schools, $20 billion for vaccine distribution, $13 billion for food assistance, $25 billion in rental assistance. Just before midnight, the United States voted overwhelmingly to pass this relief package, this omnibus spending bill, passed in the Senate, 91-7, townhall.com says. A tentative agreement hit a snag when Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania decided to eliminate three loan programs in the Federal Reserve that were launched in March. It was something that many Republicans had wanted to retire. Democrats wanted to keep it in. Well, we've never asked the Fed to engage in fiscal policy or social policy or allocate credit based on political standing, Toomey said. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said, they're going to deposit the stimulus payments in the bank accounts next week. We'll all feel good after that. There are a handful of garbage items tossed into the COVID relief bill, reports townhall.com. Invasive species assessment, mitigation, and reductions. Price tag? $130 million. Apparently, Congress is worried about water resources on the Tibetan Plateau as well. No price tag associated with that. There's $1 million, also a scholarship available there for those purposes. Here's one, creating a U.S.-India Gandhi King Development Foundation with an annual budget of $30 million. Well, it's nice to establish that. Assistance for Tibetan refugees, $8 million per year for the next four fiscal years. $10 million for gender programs in Pakistan. The COVID relief bill creates a committee to regulate performance-enhancing drugs in horse racing. That's right. It's going to make it illegal to give racehorses painkillers before training or racing. What did this have to do with COVID relief? And oh, can't forget the arts. The funds for the museum, for a museum will offer programming, education, exhibitions on the life, art, history, and culture of women. COVID Relief sends $193 million for federal HIV/AIDS workers stationed abroad to buy them new cars. How do you like that? Brand new vehicles for people living in other countries. COVID Relief Bill includes funding to discourage teens from drinking and hooking up. The COVID Relief Bill creates a commission, just what we need, a commission, tasked with educating consumers, listen to this, folks, about the dangers associated with using or storing portable fuel containers for flammable liquids near an open flame. New York's Kennedy Center needed some cash. Well, there's $40 million for them. $1.5 million for the Appropriations Committee's Office of Diversity and Inclusion. You know where that one's going. Mandates new hiring measures to ensure diversity in the intelligence community. Funding for public media outlets, including those outside the U.S., like Voice of America, Radio Free Asia. Congress is setting money aside in the stimulus program to pay the added pandemic expenses inside its own U.S. Senate daycare center as well. Breitbart goes on to say, for some countries, Christmas came early with this. There is over $169 million to Vietnam, including $19 million to remediate dioxins. Over $198 million to Bangladesh, including $23.5 million to support Burmese refugees. And $23.2 million for democracy programs. Nepal, to develop development of democracy programs. $130 million there. Pakistan, $15 million for democracy programs. $10 million for gender programs. Sri Lanka, up to $15 million for refurbishing of a high-endurance cutter, which is a type of patrol boat. $74.8 million to the Caribbean Basin Security Initiative. $33 million for democracy programs for Venezuela. Unspecified amount to Colombia, Peru, Ecuador, Curacao, and Trinidad and Tobago. What? For assistance for communities and countries supporting or otherwise impacted by refugees that are coming in from Venezuela. Representative Andy Biggs slammed the bill before the details even emerged. Just another bill we have to pass before the American people discover all the goodies that special interests jammed into this over the past week. Over 5,000 pages long, and they had but hours to look at this. But don't you feel good about the $600 that coming out to the majority of Americans? Western Journal has a story of Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky, denouncing this, said the monstrous spending bill we are presented with today is not just a deficits don't matter disaster, it's everything Republicans say they don't believe in. Why stop at $600 a person? He's asking tongue-in-cheek, why not 1,000? Why not 2,000? Maybe these new free money Republicans should join the Everybody Gets a Guaranteed Income Caucus. Why not 20,000 a year for everybody? Why not 30,000? If we can print up money with impunity, why not do it, Paul asked. Paul said the stakes of the bill's passage are great. He said to so-called conservatives who are quick to identify the socialism of Democrats, if you vote for this spending monstrosity, you are no better, Paul said. When you vote to pass out free money, you lose your soul and you abandon forever any semblance of moral or fiscal integrity. In a speech, Paul noted that the nation cannot afford to spend what he termed tomorrow's money. Senator Ron Johnson also voted against this, saying the dysfunction of Washington, D.C. was on full display as Congress had combined COVID relief with a massive omnibus spending bill 3 months past the deadline and into the current fiscal year. This monstrosity was 5,593 pages long, passed only 9 hours after the Senate first saw it. It will be weeks, maybe months, before we begin to understand all that's been included. I simply could not support this dysfunction, so I voted no. This combined spending bill will drive our debt, he said, to over $29 trillion by the end of this fiscal year. And we keep hearing it being called a COVID relief bill. Folks, it's anything but that. CBN News reporting another problem with Dominion voting systems machines has surfaced. This time, apparently, the memory cards in the company's voting tabulation machines are storage limited. JustTheNews.com dug up the surprising revelation, reporting that Dominion warned Georgia officials prior to Election Day that the memory cards might need to be taken out of the vote tabulation machines before the end of the election to deal with a limitation in its system. On Thursday, last Thursday, Fulton County Commissioner Regina Waller sent an emailed statement to Just the News from a Dominion official saying due to the amounts of races that were on the November 2020 ballot and the large number of early voting polling sites that we have in Fulton County, the Dominion ICX scanner had the memory to hold ballot images of about 5,000 ballots. After my staff and I did the test to confirm the max was 5,000 ballots, we consulted upper management and made the determination we should swap out memory cards at 3,000 ballots. We swapped out memory cards 36 times during the early voting period. And both Walton County and Douglas County election officials discovered memory cards with several hundred votes on them several weeks after the election. In Fayette County, officials found a memory card with more than 2,700 votes on it, and officials in Floyd County put an extra memory card containing 2,600 votes. This was the first year that Georgia used Dominion voting systems, reports CBN. Also, the Epoch Times reporting that the termination of two poll workers in Georgia who testified to election irregularities, deeply disturbing, three commissioners in Fulton County said. Bridget Thorne and Susan Voiles were terminated by the county's Department of Registration and Elections, according to letters obtained by the Epoch Media Group. In a joint statement Monday, Fulton County commissioners said they were disturbed by the decision, three of the commissioners. The timing of their termination is highly suspect and creates a distinct impression of retaliatory treatment. They urged the Fulton County Board of Commissioners, or rather elections, to investigate the actions of Director Richard Barron and staff members who were involved in these terminations. So you blow the whistle, guess what? They were terminated. They said the timing is very, very suspicious with this. Also from the Epoch Times, Georgia's elections director in November sent a memo warning counties that voting machine software was not subject to open voting records requests, as public demand has been growing for transparency over the Dominion voting system software and other electronic poll book data. Say, sorry, not open. This is not open records information. It's also been reported that the Southern Poverty Law Center provided funding to Fulton County, Georgia for 25 absentee ballot drop boxes to be used in the November 3rd general election. Very interesting piece there from Breitbart. Also, we know that there's an important election coming up. And according to the Daily Caller News Foundation, almost 76,000 voters who did not vote in Georgia's November elections have registered ahead of the runoffs January 5th, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. If those new voters turn out, they could make a sizable difference in the state where the November presidential race was decided by only 12,000 votes, but 76,000 new voters so far. Western Journal reporter WND.com, President Trump yesterday announced big news coming from Pennsylvania. His legal team has filed a petition with the U.S. Supreme Court and indicating some big news coming out of the state. We know there are several irregularities which have been previously reported there, but attempting to reverse cases decided by the state Supreme Court there that illegally changed the mail-in ballot laws immediately before and after the 2020 presidential election. Lawyers contended that the Supreme Court's decisions are in violation of Article 2 of the Constitution and the 2000 Bush v. Gore ruling, seeking all appropriate remedies that includes the vacating of electors that were committed to Joe Biden and allowing the Pennsylvania legislature to call up their own electors. We'll see if this one goes anywhere or not. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how primitive was early man?
Chris, early man was never primitive in an evolutionary sense at all. In the beginning, man was created in the image of God with great ability, even able to communicate with God face to face. All this was before sin, however, and we've been deteriorating ever since. Evidence continues to accumulate that long ago man was highly sophisticated, evidently even performing brain surgery. Skulls have been found with holes drilled in them for surgical reasons, and the person had survived. No, Chris, there never were primitive humans. There were some with less technology and not much education, but Stone Age cultures exist today. This is a level of civilization, but not an evolutionary stage, and it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. As news is coming fast and furious, we're having a news roundup day here today because there is much going on. Needed to make you aware, certainly, of this COVID relief bill that is anything but, as far as the big scheme of things. As we mentioned, much more money going for non-COVID related issues. But certainly we can feel good about buying new vehicles for people in countries outside the U.S. Here we have also, as we're dealing with the voting issues again, we have the report coming to us from the Western Journal that Michael Flynn, former security advisor, said foreign partners can provide evidence now that show that foreign influence at work in the November 3rd election. Spoke last Friday on Fox Business and talked about this infiltration of federal government systems through software made by a company called SolarWinds that was hacked. Later in the interview, he said, "We know we have evidence of foreign influence in the election, listed as possible perpetrators, China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia." He said, "These are adversaries that basically want to dominate the ideology of this country." Also, White House trade advisor Peter Navarro issued a very comprehensive report to President Trump's campaign's claim of election theft by 1,000 cuts, and it employs charts, other graphics summarizing the evidence from Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. He charges Democrats carried out a coordinated strategy to effectively stack the election deck against the Trump-Pence ticket, concluding that the weight of evidence and patterns of irregularities uncovered in this report are such that it's irresponsible for anyone, especially the mainstream media, to claim that there's no evidence of fraud or irregularities. You can just do a web search on for the Peter Navarro report dealing with election irregularities, and I'm sure you will find it much more extensive than what time will allow for us to get into today. Townhall.com, Maricopa County Board of Supervisors last Friday voted 4-1 to sue the Arizona Senate Judiciary Committee over subpoenas related to the 2020 presidential election. Committee asked for access to electronic voting machines, software and equipment utilized, election file logs, all usernames, passwords, encrypted passwords, security tokens, as well as forensic images of all the election servers, desktops, and any removable media ballot information that could have transferred to or including hard drives and thumb drives. The goal, according to the committee, was to conduct an audit in the state's largest county. The Board of Supervisors refusing to comply with the legislature's election subpoenas. Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama is urging Americans across this nation to urge congressmen to block electors from the disputed states. The story's in the EpicTimes.com. The only thing that will get the congressmen and senators to do what is right for our country on this issue of voter fraud and election theft is active participation by American citizens who want honest and accurate elections. He said, "Now can American citizens actively participate?" Very simply, he said, how they can do that? They have to call their congressmen and their senators, demand that they support this effort to protect our election system from fraud and illegal conduct, and in the way which our congressmen and senators do this, by rejecting the Electoral College votes of those states who have been badly flawed election systems as to render the reported election results unreliable and inaccurate. He is calling upon people, especially in these states, to contact their congressmen and senators to reject the flawed results from the Electoral College votes cast earlier by their state. By the way, each of these states have put in another set of electoral votes, opposition electoral votes, coming in from Republican Party as well. President Donald Trump has spoken to Senator-elect Tommy Tuberville after he is mulling whether or not to join representatives next month and filing a challenge to the electoral votes. We understand that there has to be people in the House that object, and there has to be concurrence by at least one senator for that to take place. We have Mitch McConnell warning senators not to do this, but to move on. And we will have to wait and see what takes place there. But you can let your voice be heard to your Republicans and senators by calling Congress with your views at 202-225-3121 to the House and 224-3121 to the Senate. This is interesting from LifeNews.com. The new vaccines for the coronavirus are morally acceptable, even if they were developed with cells from aborted babies, the Vatican said Monday in a new document. Reuters reports that the Vatican Congregation for the Doctrines of Faith, the Doctrine of Faith, which released the statement, said there are differing degrees of responsibility of cooperation in evil. Because there currently is no other vaccine option, it is morally acceptable to receive COVID-19 vaccines that have used cell lines from aborted fetuses in their research and production process, the document states. According to the Catholic News Agency, in 1972, a female child was aborted in the Netherlands, and cells from her kidneys were extracted, developed into the cell line now known as HEK-293. Now, HEK stands for Human Embryonic Kidney. So cells from the Human Embryonic Kidney 293 line have been commonly used in biologic research since the late 70s. The vaccinations produced by Pfizer and Moderna did not use this in their design, development, or production, but did use cells from this line in a confirmatory test, said the bishops. Very interesting. It's morally acceptable, even if the cells are coming from aborted babies. The aborted baby cell line, says the Vatican. Coming to us from Western Journal, a Chicago area hospital has now resumed coronavirus vaccination Sunday following a one-day pause after four healthcare workers experienced adverse reactions to the Pfizer injection last week. Symptoms experienced by the four employees at the Advocate Condell Medical Center in Libertyville included elevated heart rates and also tingling. And so out of the abundance of caution, we have increased our post-vaccine evaluation period to 30 minutes for all individuals across all our sites. That exceeds the CDC and also the ACIP recommendations. Official documents, LifeSiteNews.com, from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration record that 13 people died during trials of the Moderna vaccine, while the FDA has also issued a new warning regarding Bell's palsy as a potential effect of the vaccine, with six deaths being people who had taken the vaccine, seven of those, and also seven who died who had received the placebo. Townhall.com, former Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang published an alarming tweet last Friday. Did he read about this? He asked this in a tweet: is there any way for someone to easily show that they have been vaccinated, like a barcode that they can download to their phone? Then says, there ought to be. This is a man who ran for president. Is there a way for someone to easily show that they've been vaccinated, like a barcode they can download to their phone? There ought to be. You know, we want to be identified. Here, why don't, not just on my phone, let me put it on my right hand or my forehead. Let me have it right on my body here. Interesting indeed. Western Journal, that's my sarcastic remark. I hope you are catching that. WesternJournal.com, some of the first Americans who have received Pfizer's newly unveiled coronavirus vaccine also being outfitted with the so-called bio-buttons, which will be tracking their vital signs after getting the shot, reports Western Journal. The goal of the data-tracking buttons, according to Denver's KCNC-TV, is to keep a close eye on how patients are handling the vaccine. KCNC-TV reported the device measures one's heart rate, temperature, and respiratory rate. 100 people in all will receive the devices a day before a vaccine. The trackers will stay with patients for a week. The vaccines are administered through two injections in total, the outlet added. So some COVID vaccine recipients are being fitted with this body metric tracking device. Now, this one you ought to know about as well. I saw this on Western Journal, but it's been reported in other places as well. Employers across the country have been given the legal authority to require employees to get the new coronavirus vaccine, according to legal guidance from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. The new guidelines say that because employers are entitled to and required to ensure a safe workplace in which an individual shall not pose a direct threat to the health or safety of individuals in the workplace, a company can require its employees to be vaccinated. This is coming, folks, from the EEOC. The employer has to show that it's necessary for the job or that it's a direct threat to other employees. And if employees do not want to get vaccinated for religious or disability purposes, there's this whole litany of steps that they have to be taken to accommodate the request before they can be terminated. But if they don't meet, if they can't go down this guidelines, then the employer has the right to terminate them. There is a again, this is a full crosstalk in itself, folks. It's a 30-page guidance document from the EEOC, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, what you should know about COVID-19 and the ADA, the Rehabilitation Act, and other EEO laws. But bottom line, employers can now legally fire you for refusing the COVID vaccine, according to this guidance. Very interesting indeed. No doubt when we open some phone lines a little bit later, you'll want to comment on that aspect. From Red State, while far-left progressive politicians in California fearmonger and enact draconian lockdown measures in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, people in San Francisco are dying in the streets from overdoses. The Associated Press reported a record 621 people died of drug overdoses in San Francisco so far this year. It's a staggering number that far outpaces the deaths from COVID-19 the city has seen thus far. You know how many COVID-19 deaths as the writing of the story, December 20th? There were 173 COVID deaths, 621 drug overdoses. And folks, some of this issue is going way off the charts. A story from WesternJournal.com tells us, this is a Canadian story, Elizabeth Walker Young, 43 years old. She's a retired Canadian Paralympic swimmer. She was born without hands. And according to Canada's Global News, she has now, she has some fingers at the end of her arms, but she's not physically able to put a mask on by herself. She's a four-time Paralympian. In an Order of Canada recipient. She's a member of the Canadian Disability Hall of Fame. She was the chef de mission, the individual in charge of a national team at an international event for Canada at the 2015 Parapan American Games. As a decorated Paralympic swimmer, she broke numerous national world records over the course of her career. In her retirement, she championed inclusive sports across the country as an advocate, mentor. She speaks to varied audiences about inclusion, acceptance, authentic leadership. But guess what, folks? Though she's broken all these records, her name's in the Hall of Fame, she cannot get into the bookstore on her own because she cannot put on her own mask. According to the Global News story Monday, Walker Young tried to enter a location of the Indigo chain of bookstores at Broadway and Granville in Vancouver when she was stopped because she couldn't put on her face covering. When I'm out with my daughter and my husband, they will help me put on a mask, she said, but when I'm out in the world independently, I just can't do it. And despite this, she was denied entry. She said, it's not fair. I'm not an anti-masker. I actually don't go out often because I'm trying not to make people feel uncomfortable, which is an awful way to navigate in the world. Indigo is into Canada what Barnes & Noble is to the United States. It's the country's largest book retailer with superstores that involve, according to New York Times, hulking retail spaces stocking 100,000 titles. However, because she was born without hands and she is not able to put a mask on by herself, she was refused entry into the store. Aren't we going over the top with this? I've got some more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Are you aware of past crises when America's fate hung desperately in the balance? From the French and Indian War, the Revolution, the Civil War, and other national events, leaders in our country called the nation to prayer. In the book, Miracles in American History, author Susie Federer, the wife of historian and researcher Bill Federer, recounts 32 amazing stories of answered prayer from American history. You'll read about events such as the winter at Valley Forge, the Boston Tea Party, dense fog that appeared, allowing 8,000 troops to escape, the Star-Spangled Banner, and other events where prayer had an impact. You'll also learn when Apollo 13 was lost in space, what happened after the president called the nation to prayer. It's a reminder as to how badly prayer is needed for our nation today. Copies of Miracles in American History are available for a donation of $18 to BCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America, and if you have been with us since the start of the program, you'll know why I say there is so much happening, and it's coming so very, very quickly here across our land, and that's why we're bringing a news roundup back so quickly here into this week here to discuss these issues, and with the volume, and they're so varied, so many varied issues that we've talked about here today, including such things as this so-called COVID relief bill and all that's entailed with it. Well, I shouldn't say all, because we still don't know, and we're not going to know for some time what's in this so-called relief package as well. That, we've got election-related issues. We've got issues going on with the vaccination as well. And, oh, yeah, here we go. There's some movement going on in the House of Representatives. Pamela Geller stated, burning down cities gets you powerful seat. A powerful seat in the Democratic Party. They stole the election. They declared war. Well, Representative-elect Cori Bush, the first Black Lives Matter activist to serve in Congress, has landed a high-profile job in the powerful House Judiciary Committee. Speaker Nancy Pelosi made it official Friday when unveiling the incoming freshman class committee nominations. Now, keep in mind, folks, this is the committee that leveled impeachment charges against President Trump. We saw the works of Adam Schiff in this committee. And this new incoming freshman legislator being put on this committee, what is their credential? Well, they're a Black Lives Matter activist. She's a registered nurse, a single mom. She is, according to this article, and I'm putting this in quotes, an ordained pastor, became a civil rights activist. Powerful Judiciary Committee in the House of Representatives. Black Lives Matter activists. Now, we've seen some of the activism take place right here in our city within recent days. We have a suburb of Milwaukee known as West Dallas. And since 1984, West Dallas residents have come together in a neighborhood, and it's called Candy Cane Lane. It's a strip of houses, blocks of houses, brightly, they're elaborate Christmas decorations. And they have collection spots where they collect monies for the benefit of childhood cancer research. For 35 years, the event is a way to come together, celebrate the season, reports WesternJournal.com, all while raising money for a good cause. But in year 36, this year of 2020, it apparently became an appropriate venue for a Black Lives Matter protest. And they write in the article, because nothing engenders sympathy for a cause like crashing a cancer benefit at Christmas time. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the protest was organized by People's Revolution, a group that's been one of the chief organizers of demonstrations that have been taking place in the Milwaukee area for 200 straight days. The group chanted Black Lives Matter and Black Children Matter, as though a group dedicated to children's cancer research needs to be told that. Journal Sentinel of Milwaukee says, although there are no reports of violence or vandalism, we understand that there were no arrests being made there as this fundraiser crashed here at Candy Cane Lane by Black Lives Matter protesters along with the People's Revolution. It reminds me of the time when Scott Walker, governor of Milwaukee, governor of Wisconsin, he was the Milwaukee County head for a time, but as governor, he was holding a special ceremony to honor Special Olympians, Special Olympic members, and it got crashed by one of these protest parties as well. Well, you may not have heard about this in the news much, but according to Western Journal, a historic statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee was quietly removed from inside the U.S. Capitol early Monday morning. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reported the statue of Lee had stood in its spot for 111 years. The newspaper reported that the Virginia General Assembly last week recommended the statue of Lee be taken down and replaced with one of a former teen civil rights activist, Barbara Johns. Governor Northam announced the state had done just that on Monday, saying we should all be proud of this important step forward for our Commonwealth and our country. The Confederacy is a symbol of Virginia's racist and divisive history, and it's past time we tell our story with images of perseverance, diversity, and inclusion. Friends, you've heard several programs and references on Crosstalk to the Great Reset. The Great Reset. And now coming to Switzerland is the Great Reset of Capitalism. The Great Reset Initiative to reform free enterprise and the world's democratic systems promoted by globalists as a response to the coronavirus pandemic will be featured at a World Economic Forum event next month in January 2021. It's going to be a run-up to the annual Davos, Switzerland, the world's most influential business and political leaders, a time to rebuild trust and make crucial choices is fast approaching as they need to reset priorities and the urgency to reform systems grow stronger around the world, the World Economic Forum said in a preview. The virtual series is calling the Great Reset Dialogues. It's scheduled for January 25th through the 29th in Switzerland. In June, Klaus Schwab, the founder of WEF's and executive chairman, presented the Great Reset Plan. He wrote that the COVID-19 lockdowns may be gradually easing, but anxiety about the world's social and economic prospects is only intensifying, warning a sharp economic downturn has already begun, and we could be facing the worst depression since the 1930s. To achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions, Klaus said at the time. Last month, former Secretary of State John Kerry and European Commissioner President Ursula von der Leyen said a Joe Biden presidency would help propel the Great Reset Plan. The Biden administration will focus on every sector of the American economy. And folks, it is coming forth, a major meeting called the Great Reset Dialogues, January 25th through the 29th. This is a very troubling story. It's a report that had come out. This is on lifenews.com. And they say that a shocking new report from the National Catholic Register describes how scientists at the University of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania recently used scalps from aborted babies to create humanized mice to study the human immune system. Researchers at the University of Pittsburgh used full-thickness human skin from babies aborted between 18 and 20 weeks gestation for their experiments, according to their study. They also took thymus, liver, and spleen tissue from the aborted babies and transplanted and grafted onto the rodents and allowed to grow. Then the rodent models were given a staph infection on the skin to study how the internal organs responded. These human skin and immune systems, humanized mouse and rat models, are meant to aid the study of the immune system when the skin is infected. Folks, this ought to be a wake-up call to where we are. I mean, we read about in Scripture about during the time of Noah how man's heart was continuously doing that which is evil. Folks, we are there. We are there. When you read about the lawlessness that is talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when you read about the lawlessness and the warnings of false teachers and the deception that's going on that Peter warns about in the second epistle of Peter, we're right there, folks. This ought to be a wake-up call to the times in which we live. If you're listening to this program, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Friends, can I encourage you to do that today? And those who are just playing this game of Christianity, folks, it's time to get serious. LifeNews.com saying the pharmaceutical giant Bayer has given an $80,000 grant to the nation's largest abortion business. According to the Arkansas Family Council, the drug maker provided the grant to the Planned Parenthood Abortion Center in Little Rock, the state capital. Let's open some phone lines here today. I've talked about so many different issues. If you want to make a brief comment on one or a couple of them, are numbered across talk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. And last Friday, I did tell you about this, but folks, there's more to the story about the a judge allowing for a prisoner in the Wisconsin prison system to get a so-called sex change operation. This is a prisoner who, according to reports, raped his own daughter. A Wisconsin man who is in prison for having raped his own daughter, constitutionally entitled to receive a sex change at taxpayer expense, a federal judge has ruled. This story is on thedailywire.com. Mark Allen Campbell, sentenced in 2007 to 34 years in prison after pleading guilty to first-degree sexual assault against his daughter, now identifies as a transgender woman and prefers the name Nicole Rose Campbell. And so the judge ruled that Campbell's entitled to sex change surgery and should be able to be moved into a women's prison in the meantime. Folks, no matter what you do to yourself biologically, you're still either male or female. You cannot change that. We're going to Joyce calling in from Muskegon, Michigan. Hi, Joyce. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello. I missed the first couple minutes, so I don't know. A week and a half ago, you had a fellow on the talking about the vaccines. Anyway, did he say that the Pfizer vaccine was safer or the new one, the second one that's out?
Well, there was no comment made about the safety of the vaccine because they've had adverse effects, and we did a full program on vaccines last week. I would encourage you to either go to the website of the guest or listen to the recording from the National Vaccine Information Center. But one of the things that was reported is as to the fetal cell line that both the Pfizer and the Moderna do not have it in the development or production of the vaccine, but did use it in lab testing. The new AstraZeneca vaccine and Johnson & Johnson that were in phase 3 trials, both of them also use the aborted cell line in the development and the production of the vaccine as well.
Okay, well, my second question is that it was reported to me by a nurse that that the one that has the aborted babies and that could cause HIV. Is that true?
I don't have any. I've not heard that from any source, and the information that that has come across our desk here. But again, I would encourage you to touch base with the National Vaccine Information Center. Thank you, Joyce. NVIC.org is their website. Their phone number is there as well. Let's go next to Olney, Illinois. George, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I was just wanting to make a comment. We as a people are expected to believe an illusion, whether it's virtual or reality. And it's gotten to the point where I don't really even believe that those leaders of ours got a vaccination. I believe it was more of a placebo, and they're just eluding us.
Okay. Isn't it terrible that we've become so skeptical of things going that when things happen, we don't know whether to believe it or not? Thank you, George.
I really don't.
I can't attest to it. I was not there. I have not examined it myself, but we know what was being reported to us. But you're very skeptical of that. Thank you for your comment. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Tom in Port Wing, you're on the air.
Yes, in regards to the real stimulus package the country needs, everybody would have been told to go back to work, back to school, and let's get on with our lives and our economy.
Okay. Thank you, Tom, for your call here today. We're going to take a quick break on Crosstalk. We'll take more of your calls following it. I do have a couple open lines right now at 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. By the way, President Trump, wow, even launching into Justice Hagedorn here in the state of Wisconsin over his rulings with the liberal justices on the bench. Very interesting indeed. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Well, let me say Merry Christmas. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." The great story of Christmas is the incarnation of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He who knew no sin became as if he had sinned. Well, he didn't have any sin. He was perfect and sinless. That's why he's our Savior. And his righteous life was credited or imputed to our account through faith and repentance. You see, salvation is available to all, but it's only applicable to those through faith and repentance. Use this Christmas season to proclaim the reason for Christ's birth, that there might be restitution of our relationship with our Holy Father through faith and repentance. Available to all, but only applicable to those who surrender their life to Christ through faith and repentance.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and we're having a news roundup kind of early, but one that's important. So many issues going on. By the way, there's another issue going on with the shortage of ammunition across the country, for whether it be for hunting or shooting sports or target practice or self-defense, whatever it may be. But it's come to the point where Jason Vanderbrink, he is the president of Vista Outdoors, president of ammunition. He addressed this in a video that he released, and he said that, we're not storing this in secret warehouses. He said this, and I quote, 7 million new shooters since March times two boxes, 50 rounds per box, which is a conservative estimate, is 700 million new rounds of ammunition our factories have helped to produce. He said it's impossible to do this in 9 months. Not only does the company have to find and hire manufacturing employees, but the employees have to be trained. Materials have to be sourced. On top of that, the company is dealing with the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic as well. So to tie all that together, you will see we are indeed making ammunition. We indeed are shipping ammunition. We're not storing in secret warehouses, he said. The company said all three of his plants are producing ammo as quickly as possible. Very interesting because, we've heard many talk about the shortages going on, but he said that the 700 million new rounds of ammunition, that's two boxes, two 50-round boxes for each new shooter, 7 million new shooters since March. Interesting. Let's go to Michigan, and we have got Lori calling. Hi, Lori, you're on the air.
Hi. I was hearing somebody mention about the vaccine, about HIV. Well, I actually had heard earlier, I don't remember, it might have been on Brandon's when he had some doctor on or whatever, but out of Australia, there's a report coming back that people who had been part of their group of people that are, I call them the guinea pigs for the vaccine, they had actually been coming up HIV positive all of a sudden, and they had shut down some of those vaccines. But what they're using is anytime when they're using what I call unclean animals during the process, it's a high risk to get some of the diseases that come out of these creatures. Of course, if it's not the fetal, it's the monkeys, the chimps, and I don't know, all kinds of things that they shouldn't be using. And they're not meant to be inserted into the body, as we all know. Yeah. So, yes, it's true that there's a report coming out of Australia that
who is reporting that, Lori?
I think it was on Brandon or somewhere. Okay. I've heard. I've been listening to, and it might have been on One American News, too, that they said that people were reporting back from Australia that people that were being tested with these vaccines were coming up HIV positive because of the chimpanzee and the monkey lines that they use in some of them. So if you go back and you can find out the ingredients and what they used in them, if they have any monkey or chimpanzee, yes, there's a possibility of becoming HIV positive. That's actually been reported already from my column, the guinea pigs that were willing to be subjected to the trial runs of the vaccine.
Okay, thank you for that. I just have not, caught that at all. I have no documentation on that. I never came up with our National Vaccine Information Center with that. So I cannot verify that. I hear what you're saying. I just have not been able to, I cannot independently verify that at this point. Thank you. Zach in Monticello, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Hello, brother. I know you've had a lot of disturbing news, and I know that's your job, but I just want to comment when you was talking about salvation. Everybody you talk to nowadays, they say they're Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, not all that say, Lord, Lord, will enter in. There'll be many in that day that say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?
Right.
And Lord, done many wonderful works. I'd just like to talk to the folks out there and just say, make sure that you're saved and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're coming into hard and terrible times, and we need to know that one day we'll stand before the Lord. And brother, we appreciate you and thank you for what you do, and we'll be praying for you.
Thank you for the call. Thank you. And indeed, don't be there are many who are professors of the faith and far less possessors. Very important. As the caller was talking here, I do see a story that came out from the New York Times. Australia scraps COVID-19 vaccine that produced HIV false positives. There's a first paragraph. Australia on Friday canceled a roughly $750 million plan for a large order of a largely developed coronavirus vaccine after the inoculation produced false positive test results for HIV in some volunteers participating in a trial study. So they're saying it gave a false positive for HIV. So again, I have not had any documentation that has caused HIV, but again, thank you for addressing that issue. Gary is calling from Michigan. You're on the air.
Hi. I was interested in that first part of your program with the dispensing of all the money.
Yeah.
That was just amazing. I mean, it's not even related to our country. Free cars? I need a free car.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, there was a lot of foreign aid given in this, and we kept being told in our news media, the COVID relief package, that that was just a portion of what this whole piece of legislation was about.
Well, you know, Americans have short memories. This country has been doing that for years, probably since the 50s, trying to buy off countries for support or, whatever.
Yeah.
And, I wasn't surprised, really, but the amount of money is
huge.
Amazing.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. John in Berriga, Michigan, you're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to say that people are so dumbed down. I try and tell people certain things about this or that, what I hear on your show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you must watch Fox News. What's your source? And then you tell them, or you show them the article, you get screamed at, their eyes pop out of their heads.
Yeah.
And these people, Jim, have been dumbed down. It used to be the universities, and then it was the grade schools, and now it's God knows what. And it's just, I don't know how the Lord feels. I'll never, but it's like, wow. It's just as a human being, as old as I am, it's like, I am really disheartened what I've seen in my life. I'll shut up and thank you you know what I'm trying to say.
I got it, John. Thank you for the call here today. But, you know, 2 Timothy 3 warns about that when he's talking about the last days, perilous times coming, and it talks about those being deceived and being deceived. Deception is a mark of the last times. Bill in Phoenix, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for everything you do. God bless you, Jim Snyder. Can you please repeat for everyone the phone numbers to the House of Representatives and to the Senate?
So I can do that. The closing music is playing, so write down quickly, okay? Here you go. To the House, 202-225-3121. That's 225-3121. To the Senate, it's 202-224-3121. And that'll get you there to the main switchboards. My time is gone. Thanks for listening, and thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.